141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. After another busy weekend across Scottish football, Barry Ferguson's homecoming doesn't go to plan with home defeat to Motherwell, but the takeover is getting closer. Celtic go 16 points clear and now looking at when they can wrap up the Premiership title. And there were big wins for the likes of Hibs at Easter Road in the Edinburgh Derby. Plenty to look back on in the company of Motherwell's winning captain from Ibrox. He's always dreamt of captaining a winning side in a big game at Ibrox. He did it at the weekend. Andy Halliday's here alongside Roger Hannah.
This was a weekend, Gordon, when people proved other people wrong. Kevin Nisbet silences doubters with a double to rescue a point for Aberdeen in the New Firm Derby yesterday. David Gray, who'd seemed on the brink of the sack when Hearts last went to Easter Road, took them third in the Premiership with the best league run since 1949. Hyang Yunjun and his girlfriend managed to silence Hugh Keevan and make him eat his words with that dynamic display off the bench in Paisley. And this man lampooned, lambasted for refusing to celebrate a goal against Rangers at Hampden, goes to Ibrox, captain of Motherwell against his hero Barry Ferguson, and comes away with 3 points, and he's still smiling.
Oh, I certainly didn't apologise for winning the game, that's for sure. So I've learnt my lesson for last time, but listen, plenty to talk about from the weekend. Some fantastic goals, some fantastic controversy as well. You quite rightly touched on Motherwell going and getting the result at Ibrox. Rangers probably looking at where's the positives going to come from. We've got the news this morning, Gordon, I seen you breaking it as well, with the 49ers enterprise. Seems as if it's all in place.
0141 951 1025. So what is on your mind tonight then with regards to Scottish football? If we go on the pitch at the weekend, Rangers fans, what happened there? We've got a man who was very close, so let's lean on Andy Halliday's insight into the game. Motherwell fans, I know for a fact you will not want your part in this lost, because you performed really well, so you might want to ask Andy a bit more about that and the way the new manager has things going. But where did it go wrong for you Rangers fans? How bad was it? How much of a bubble-bursting afternoon was it with Barry Ferguson coming back and all the atmosphere and all the optimism that was around the place to go and lose yet another, a third consecutive home game? How do you feel about that? Give us a call, please. 0141 951 1025. Things have moved on a bit. You might be feeling a bit more optimistic today about the longer term, a deal agreed in principle with 49ers Enterprises for this takeover, a deal that could be in place for the start of next season. So if you've any thoughts there, please get your calls in right now on the same number. Celtic fans, you've been crunching the numbers, haven't you? You've got the diary out. You're now looking at that game away to St Johnstone as perhaps the day you could wrap up the title. If you beat Rangers, that goes to 19. If you beat Hearts thereafter, you would be looking at the St Johnstone game. So potentially 3 games time. Give us a call on all the big talking points. I think you St Mirren fans might have one or two grumbles from the evening in Paisley. Roger Hannah was there, so he's perfectly placed to answer your calls, and we'll do as much of it as we can. Edinburgh Derby, I mean, seriously, Andy Halliday captains Motherwell at Ibrox, wins the game, so he's got that one covered. He's then a TV sensation on his Sky Sports punditry debut in the Edinburgh Derby. He's got that one covered. So whatever you fancy sharing with us tonight, 0141 951 1025. Give us a call and we will work through the lot. To whet your appetite, though, what was your result of the weekend? Come on, Andy Halliday. I've been working up to this. I knew it was keeping me around on a Monday for a reason.
I've went for Celtic.
Ah, come on.
No, of course, I've went for Motherwell. Back-to-back wins at Ibrox, which is a remarkable feat in its own. All the talk was about Barry Ferguson's return at Ibrox as interim Rangers manager. After the result on Wednesday against Kilmarnock, coming back for 2-0 down, there felt as if there was a buzz going into the stadium. But I've got to say, Gordon, it's not just the result, it's the performance. I could have put Motherwell in all 4 categories for the weekend there. I thought it was arguably our best performance of the season, and quite rightly getting the result of the weekend.
I'm going to have to go Hibs. The other game Andy was at the weekend, if you just look at it historically, 13 games unbeaten in the league. It's the best run since, as we said, 1949. Even the famous 5 in the 50s didn't do it. Even some of the great teams in the 70s didn't do it. Sozi and Latipi didn't do it. 15 undefeated in all competitions. They are third. They're leading the race for Europe. And I'll tell you what, Celtic against Hibs on Sunday will be a good game.
Goal of the weekend.
I tell you what, I had some selection. It was a good weekend for it. But as you quite rightly pointed out, I was there, seen it live. Jack Iredale, for it to be his first Hibs goal to come in the manner it did, with the type of strike it was, and a winner in the derby, it just had that feeling. Once it, like, you hear it so many times when players say, as soon as it left my foot, I knew it was going in. As soon as we seen it left his foot, we knew it certainly had a chance. And what a strike it was.
I'm going to go Dyson Mider. As you say, I was in Paisley Saturday night. Everything about it, the first time pass from Yang, the technique from Mider to get it out his feet away from the defender, and the finish into the bottom corner past Zach Hemming, 26 for the season. That might be the best one, you know.
I'll tell you what, Declan John and Tom Sparrow could have won on a Monday any other week.
I'll tell you, so Declan John, I was there as well. What a hit that is. Yeah. I mean, that's his. You talk about Jack Ardale's first goal, Declan John's first goal for St Mirren, a wonderful free kick.
Howler of the weekend.
Again, we've got a couple to choose from. I'm going to go the VAR team. In the St Mirren Celtic game, I don't put a whole load of blame on Matthew McDermott. Some people might say otherwise, but I can't say I definitively felt it was a penalty at the time. But I haven't seen it back. There's absolutely zero excuse that the VAR team should miss a decision like that.
St Mirren fans, you know where we are. Give us a call on that one. And your howler, Roger.
Well, let me tell you, the most relieved man will be Dimitar Mitov, that he's not got the award. What he was doing at the first and Dundee United goal, I'm not sure. But it has to be Jack Butland. Dan Casey's shot, you could have thrown your bonnet on it, Gordon. Somehow he spills it out. Luke Armstrong scored, and it all went wrong for Rangers from there.
And last but not least, your top man, your top performer, take it away.
I'm going to go for Callum Slattery. I thought it was a real team performance, but no, a little bit of a background story for people that don't know. Callum Slattery was 13 months injured with an ACL injury after having a terrific first 6 months of the season last year, as you'll remember. Been through a real tough time of it. And like any footballer will tell you, to have an injury like that, knowing that you're going into the last year of your contract, he's out of contract in the summer. We've had a real boost with him coming back into the squad over the last sort of 2-3 weeks. And I think everyone's seen, you know, what we missed for his performance at the weekend. I thought he was excellent.
I mentioned at the top of the show, Kevin Nisbet, 2 goals in the last 15 minutes to get Aberdeen out of jail. They looked gone, 2-0 down to Dundee United. Couple of good finishes. Is he anywhere sneaky getting back into the Scotland squad for the Nations League playoff against Greece, maybe?
I thought top man, top performer was going to be either the Proclaimers or the man who's in charge of the tunes at Easter Road. What a moment that. Maybe not for...
No,
former,
it was, to be
Hearts
fair.
Players, but
it was, to be honest. I was actually saying that today. Although they obviously sang it when they beat us in the Scottish Cup final in 2015. It's the first time I've heard it live in person. It was really good. You can feel the feel-good factor around Hibs at the moment. They've obviously been a shadow of that kind of 2015 team over the last few years, missing top six in consecutive seasons. But you can sense now they've got a manager that they really trust. They're on a 15 game unbeaten run, so the players are full of confidence, and the atmosphere in the stadium yesterday was really good.
Okay then, come on, 01419511025. So much to get through. I mean, there always is on a Monday, but a defeat like that at Ibrox in Barry Ferguson's homecoming, Rangers fans, how was it? They've then got the wider picture about the takeover bid looking like it's getting closer. We've got Celtic going 16 points clear, looking at now when they can win the league. We've got an Edinburgh derby. We've got so many big talking points, and Andy Halliday seemed to be involved in a few of them. So 01419511025. Come on then, how was it? Sum it all up. A famous win for your Motherwell team.
Yeah, listen, it was a brilliant game of football for us, obviously. And again, obviously, the manager's just in the door. We had only had 5 training sessions by the time that we were preparing for Rangers at the weekend. And you know, you now look back on it now, and I mean, the amount of stuff that we talked about and worked on Friday, how it came to fruition within the game was excellent. And obviously that's down to the management team for the game plan, but it's also down to the players as well to follow that up. And we've spoke about it, we've debated about it so many times, where people say about, you need to go and sit and frustrate, and or, no, you need to go and have a go because they're frail defensively. I must admit myself, when we were going through the game plan on Friday, and the manager was very, very clear how we're getting after them, we're high pressing, we're making it uncomfortable, and we're playing out for the back. You do almost have to think, the place is going to be rocking. Barry Ferguson's first game, they've just came back for 2-0 down on Wednesday. But you've got to say, for the first whistle, Gordon, like I said, it wasn't just a result. I thought we completely dominated the game.
When did he tell you you were getting the armband? Because Lennon had had it before when McGinn and O'Donnell were out.
When I walked into the dressing room at 1:30 and seen the armband hanging over my peg, it was simple as that. Again, I think I've referenced it. I think we've had nature of injuries this season. We've had 5-6 different captains at different points this season. And again, I think Lennon obviously wore it for a period of time and done a fantastic job doing so. Listen, I don't know if Lennon enjoyed it. I don't know if he never, but like I said, I just walked in. Obviously, Stephen O'Donnell not being available.
And it was a Herculean effort. You managed 62 minutes rather than the usual 58 or 59. How
yeah,
did that go?
I know. And you know what? It was as soon as me and Slats got booked, I knew it was coming at some point. I didn't really want it to be as early as 62 minutes, but I knew it was certainly going to come.
David is on the line as a Rangers fan. David, I don't think you'll have as fond memories of Saturday as Andy does. So, what frustrated you?
I've just got two wee points, if you don't mind, guys. The first point is just, I wish I could actually be angry at this Rangers team, but I'm just resigned to seeing them being pathetic. That's how I feel about them now. The quicker this season's over, the better. I actually don't know what they're doing anymore. They don't have any passion for themselves, for the club, for the fans, and they've showed that now. There's nothing you can say that, oh, it's down to manager. Barry Fagan's just in the door. You couldn't get a person that's more in love with the club than Barry Fagan. And if he can't get them to do something, no one can. It's down to these players that we've got these kinds of results throughout the season. I actually don't know what would be worse, to get a tank in Afi Fenerbahce or to get a result against Fenerbahce, because if they got a result against Fenerbahce, it would just confirm that they only care about themselves.
Is this part of it that stung the most on Saturday, David, about the kind of the letdown, if you like, because people got quite excited? We were here and we heard the phone calls about how that reaction against Kilmarnock, that wouldn't have happened under Philippe Clement, and Barry Ferguson gets it and he knows what it takes and all that sort of stuff. People are having discussions about, can you keep that going? Can he become the permanent manager? It's the first time he's back at Ibrox. There was all this kind of hope in the air, and then that performance, is that the bit that, you know, the hope that kills you, as the phrase goes?
I think it comes down to, you can't turn sheep into wolves. These players, everything apart from maybe three or four of them, are not good enough to wear the Rangers jersey. It's as simple as that. They've proven that over this season. They've got beat by Queen's Park. They've got bet twice after St Mirren. They've got bet after Aberdeen. They've got bet after Motherwell. This is really one of the worst Rangers teams in my lifetime, especially defensively. It's so easy to play against Rangers. I could coach a team to score against us. It's so easy. It's just, there's no passion in the players' eyes. You even see when they're passing the ball, there's no energy in the ball. They're just going through the motions. They don't care.
I'm glad Andy's here to do the Motherwell were good bit, because otherwise it takes away from how many teammates achieved, and they were very good. So you can do the Rangers were bad bit, Roger.
Well, you can maybe rewind and we can just replay what we did after Queen's Park and St Mirren and all the other games that David's talking about there. This Rangers team is gone. They have gone completely. They've now lost home games back to back against Queen's Park, St Mirren and Motherwell. They do not have the wherewithal to perform at Ibrox. There is no doubt technically there are some talented players in the team. You've seen it in European games. You might see it in Istanbul at tea time on Thursday, Gordon. But when their backs are against the wall at Ibrox, they can't stand up and meet it. You know, I'll go through the team on Saturday. You know, Red Van Minot playing on the wrong side. Tavernier's never a centre back. Robin Proper is not physically strong enough to play in Scottish football. Jeff Day, in his first season as a senior pro, needs taken out the team because his form has dipped dramatically. Cherny's only on loan and blows hot and cold. Hadji and Lawrence are running out of contract at the end of the season and will be going elsewhere, and are now performing like players who will be going elsewhere. Egerman, a bit like Jeff Day, first season as a pro, he needs taken out the team. It's going to stunt his development if he's not taken out the team just now. So you can go through them all, and they're just not up to the task that Rangers fans want them to be up to. And if the next Rangers manager, whether it's Barry Ferguson or whether it's someone else, if he doesn't come in and recognise that he needs to bring in players into the squad who not only are technically adept, but have the strength of character and the mental fortitude to play and perform the way Rangers players need to play and perform, then this cycle of underachievement will just continue into next season.
You're part of it, Andy, then you speak about the game plan. Did you feel that even although there was the reaction at Rugby Park and so on, you feel like now even going to Ibrox, because bear in mind earlier in the season that this is now a new disappointment for the Rangers fans. Mm-hmm. All the problems were on the road and Ibrox was fine. Yeah. Nothing was wrong at Ibrox. Now it's three consecutive home defeats for the first time since 2012. Did you sense then that there was a frailty there and that, as you said, you could get after this Rangers team?
Not so much in the build up to the game, because one thing I will say about these players, for the majority of players that have been there, you know, under Michael Beale, they got an initial bounce back. Under Philippe Clement, they got an initial bounce back. And under Barry Ferguson, after the Wednesday game in Kilmarnock, you thought the exact same again. They're going to get an initial bounce back from the manager, and they might start well until ultimately what they've been doing recently has been fading away. But I expected us to meet fire with fire. I thought Rangers' game plan was going to be very similar to ours, and it was going to be a head-on collision. Again, I thought they just looked so passive for the first whistle again. I think we got a corner inside 15 seconds. And I just thought it spooked the full place. I thought it spooked the players. And I don't think they maybe quite expected how aggressive we really were in the press. And I don't think how comfortable we were in possession in terms of playing out. And again, you know, Barry Ferguson, I listened to Barry Ferguson's interview and I thought he was very fair in his assessment in the game, but he talked about a reaction at half time. I thought Rangers got what we gave them. We were 2-0 up and we were then quite happy to sit 10 yards deeper and say, okay, go and break us down. And I don't think mm-hmm. they did. I think everybody could fairly say that the goal from Rangers was probably a mistake for our end, from a nothing kind of a ball. Other than that, I don't think they created any chances.
David, has this made you lose faith with most of the players then? Because it feels like a couple of, I don't know, months ago, there was an acceptance that you weren't going to win the league, but maybe the future was bright and maybe you could build the team around Hamza Egeman or Jeff Day or a core of players that were there. Are you now starting to doubt some of the players?
I think it's just obvious now, the personality and the mentality some of these players have. If they can't get themselves G'd up when Barry Ferguson's there, they can't. It's impossible not to get G'd up by Barry Ferguson. But I can just see them somehow getting a result against Fenerbahce because their names will be in the lights and they're looking to get a move somewhere. And I think that would actually be worse than getting bet off of Fenerbahce or getting a thanking off them, because it makes it obvious what they're thinking.
I've heard all this in the last week or two, David, as well. And I'll take you inside the Rangers dressing room. Robin Proper won't know who Barry Ferguson is. And if Barry Ferguson shouts at him, he'll just go into his shell. Yanis Hadji, Vaslav Cherny, Nedim Bairami, Danilo, they won't have a clue about the history of Barry Ferguson, Neil McCann, Billy Dodds and Alan McGregor. And if Barry Ferguson goes in and shouts at them, half of them will just, they won't be interested. And that sounds a ridiculous thing to say, because I know the point you're trying to make, but it's becoming increasingly apparent that the vast majority of the players that we're talking about in the Rangers squad just now just can't cut it. And it doesn't matter. Barry could jump up and down and scream and sing as much as he likes. Doesn't make Robin Proper one bit better.
Is that key to it, Andy, when you go there then as an opposition player, because you've been there as a home player, that you almost get a sense quite quickly that you just feel comfortable and you kind of know that what you're in for?
Yeah, but again, almost too comfortable. Just I couldn't see it coming at all, Gordon. Maybe us out of possession, I think I can understand why that would maybe spook Rangers, because, you know, Motherwell going to Ibrox probably not what we've been used to. But us in possession, for us in midfield, I thought we got relatively easy touches on the ball. Again, we can go into that side of it as well, but I look at Rangers and I think 4-4-2. For me, they've not got the personnel to be a 4-4-2 team. It's probably just a case of 11 best players that are fit. How do we fit that system perfectly? And again, I've seen loads of people talk about it. Obviously, Barry Ferguson's just in the door, completely understand that. He's talked about how it's going to get time for him to have his stamp on the team. Vimmel had, I think, 5 training sessions. Again, I think everyone watched the 3 games. They could clearly see He's put a stamp on his team already. That's their style. I was still expecting more in terms of change of style for Rangers.
Got to be a fine tomorrow for calling the manager Vimmer, if you ask me.
I was actually about to say Gaffer, thought that's a fine, so I changed it.
You can't win.
Listen, if anybody's getting fined, it's you for your Vimmer chicken dinner on Saturday night.
No, I read it out from someone.
No, repeating it doesn't make it any less of a crime.
It was Fraser, if I remember rightly, he sent it in. But anyway, I like the sound of it. Thank you to David on the line. What are you thinking out there? Give us a call, 01419511025.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Amy McDonald thinks I'm nuts. Like you, if you need to go, you don't go into somebody's car.
No.
I don't think Barry was ever getting a job, even if he won every game between now and the end of the season. We've got Dundee United and Celtic.
And then away to Motherwell.
That's why I make Motherwell favourites to finish in the top six, because they've got momentum. The point difference between Hibs and Rangers will be smaller than Rangers and Celtic. I opened up a washing machine shopping Airdrie.
See? Yes.
Check it out on the Clyde One Super Scoreboard YouTube channel, or get it where you get your podcasts now. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here. 0141 951 1025. Alan is next up on the line. How are you, Alan?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good, what's your point tonight? Yeah, all good here, thank you.
Yes, not taking any away from Motherwell or St Martin or Kilmarnock or Queen's Park. When was the last time a team actually scored a goal against Rangers, apart from horrendous defending? And as I was saying to the producer, we can only hope that Suter and Balogun's back for Thursday night's game in Europe. And talking about VAR, Andy, was there any conclusive pictures that Daniil, you actually touched the ball from the Desers equaliser, and if they didn't, that's a goal.
Well, in terms of conclusive evidence, it's whatever your eyes want to tell you, because for me it looked pretty conclusive, the second angle I seen. Again, I think the first angle, you quite likely could point out that I don't think you can tell at all. I don't know about yourself, Alan, if you were at the game, but even at the time, it definitely had a feeling that it touched his knee in the first time, the way the change in trajectory of the ball. And if you can see actually where Ridvan Yilmaz plays the pass from and the direction the ball then takes when it lands at Desser's foot. But again, yeah, you talked about analysing Rangers' goals. Listen, you can quite rightly point out the defending and the goals. I think you can analyse any goals in terms of the first goal. Obviously, Roger gave it Butland the howler for it. Again, there's a catalogue of errors within it. Dessers with his initial touch in the breakaway. I think Robin Proper's role in the goal is horrendous, especially for a guy of his experience and his age. Ambling out the box, playing two players onside. Again, I don't even think I told you this, Gordon. I never actually seen the goal till half five, because I was on my way jogging back, because I just thought Butland would have put his hat on it. I think it's one of the goals that I can only imagine the amount of households that have watched the highlights of that goal and collectively said, I'd have saved that. Because when I seen it at half five, I couldn't understand it. As soon as I seen Dan Casey's shot, I've turned and ran back to defend what I thought was going to be a counter-attack. And then for a guy who was exceptional for Rangers last year, and he was exceptional, I just can't believe how poor a season he's having and some of the errors he's made.
I think on the VAR one, Roger, or the best angle of them all, did you see the one Sports Scene had last night from behind that was sort of zoomed in?
I need to be consistent. We spoke last week about Alistair Johnson and Dyson Maida, and the ball did it cross the line, did it not cross the line? I said I couldn't tell you 100%. So when I couldn't tell 100%, I would have stuck with the on-field decision, which was the goal. So this week I can't tell 100%, therefore I think you need to stick with the on-field decision, which is no goal for offside.
Alan, where does this come from, this home form then? What do you put that down to? Because earlier on in the season, it was all about the away from home, and people kept saying that if you can just go away and break down teams, that's all that's missing from Rangers. There's no such problems at Ibrox. Where is this coming from, this run of three? You mentioned the three opponents and that the types of goals being conceded. What do you put that down to?
Honestly, I've not got a clue. They're that poor, the goals. They're not, like, I had my granddaughter there, just as Andy said, and she's 11, and I says, if you'd let the ball go out, I says, how'd they give you a bollock? And I don't know what Butland was doing. Jeffy's been caught 3, 4, 5, 6 times getting pulled inside. Look at the space that the Motherwell man had. It was frightening. and proper. I'm 61. I reckon I could beat proper over 50 yards. He's so slow.
I mean, Roger, that three game run, that three consecutive defeats, first time since 2012, five goals conceded, one goal for. That's just.
In the next two games, Fenerbahce and Celtic. So it might get worse before it gets better, Gordon. You really wouldn't have believed that, you know, we're sitting here on the 3rd of March. I think we sat here on the 3rd of January after Rangers had beaten Celtic 3-0 at Ibrox. You would not believe the decline in that football team in the space of 2 months. It has been stark. It has been alarming. It's been a little short of incredible. And I'm not surprised Alan is, you know, aghast, as he seems to be. All Rangers fans will be aghast. Is there 11 games left or 9 games left of the league season?
Nine.
They'll be desperate for the season to finish and hope that the 49ers Enterprises deal can be concluded and they can start a new chapter.
Talked about at the top of the show as well is like searching for positives at Rangers at the moment. Their form at Ibrox was one of them. That was where they remain strong. And again, the turn of events over the last three consecutive home games. Barry Ferguson now referencing after his game that, you know, they're struggling confidence wise playing at home. That's where they've been really good. And I guess not even just the results, like I says, Gordon. It's for me the St Mirren game they deserve to lose. And again, I felt at the weekend there, I thought we were deserving winners.
Thank you to Alan. Let's hear from Barry Ferguson. He says the performance was nowhere near what he was expecting. He said the first half angered and frustrated him.
No, it's clear that we'll suffer a heavy defeat. I'm not going to sit here and try and kid people on. Look, that level of performance, certainly in the first half, is nowhere near the standards that are needed. And it's my job now in this short period of time. But look, do you know what? I'm not going to just go and I'm going to work my backside off to make sure this gets sorted. I spoke to them in the dressing room. They understand it. Listen, Rangers fans can't accept you not playing well. What Rangers fans can't accept is when your team get run over the top in the first 45 minutes. And I thought we did. Yeah, we created a few half chances, but I says on Friday, when you're playing at Ibrox, you need to be the dominant force. Motherwell dominated us. Did we dominate him in the second half? At times, but not enough.
Such a different approach from Philippe Clement, isn't it, as well? Just to listen to the comments. But let's bring in Billy, who's on the line, see what he made of it. Billy?
How you doing, lads? I basically caught it on the telly, basically. And I mean, but I was just listening to Andy Halliday there. I mean, coming up the road there. And basically says they played the better football and all that. There was no football played the other day there. Rangers were rotten and Murrow were bang average. We gave the goals away ourselves. We shot ourselves in the foot. Murrow, to me, played the best they could. But they stifled the game. All they done was bring the Rangers players down every time we get in the midfield. A couple of players could have been half the part. No, for serious tackles. Consistent, fouling, and the referee was weak. But if you see it, Murrow were played brilliant. They didn't play brilliant. They won the game. They were bang average, and Rangers were rotten.
Barry Ferguson just said they ran all over the top of you in the first half.
Well, we must tell you, never ran out of tappies. What did they do?
No, I'm saying Barry Ferguson said that.
The keeper gave the goal away. The left back went sleeping. Where did they score the goal for open play where they run right through and scored a couple of goals?
The second goal, from a Motherwell point of view, Billy, is an excellent, very well designed goal. And I actually touched on it after the game. It's actually a part on the play that we worked on the Friday. I tried to steal the ball one side and switching the ball quickly to the other side and then using the opposite wing back to get in. So again, from a Motherwell point of view, Billy, it was a fantastic goal. You could quite rightly point out the first goal, especially, and say that goal was handed. I'd also argue that the Rangers goal was handed to you. I think Ridvan plays a very hopeful ball that's not really going anywhere, and we obviously don't deal with the initial contact of the ball, and it falls to Dessers, and he has a fantastic finish. I think you're being extremely unfair if you're saying that you don't think Motherwell played well in the game.
Motherwell won the game. I'll not take that away from you, but it was a bang average game. There's no football.
Billy,
I scored a game. Rangers played rotten.
Billy,
every time Rangers got the ball, your players brung them down.
Rangers have lost 10 games this season. They've drawn 9 games this season. That's 19 games of football that Rangers have failed to win this season. There must be something wrong in the team, Billy.
There's definitely something wrong with the Rangers team, but I'm he's basically saying they ran near the top of Rangers. Rangers were bang average.
No, Barry Ferguson said that, not me.
Well, I watched the game and they never run near the top of Rangers. It was a bang average game. Motherwell deserved to win the game. No taking away. But the football was terrible for two sides.
Can you not always spin these things both ways, Billy? Because obviously everybody watched it. It's a terrible mistake, the Rangers goal, but the Motherwell first goal, but if your team scores that goal, everybody goes, oh, that, you know, but we made them make that mistake. You know, we pressed them. Jack Butland rolls the ball out. Motherwell are on Cyril Dessers. You know, if Motherwell go and sit back, Cyril Dessers is allowed to then just run the ball up the pitch. So it always takes two, does it not? Motherwell need to be there to do the right thing. And you'll have seen loads of teams, Billy. You'll have seen millions of them over the years go to Ibrox, just sit in, try and frustrate, and they might get something. Saturday wasn't one of them, Billy, was it?
I don't know what to extent. They never sat in. They went forward. But what I'm saying is, it wasn't a great game of football. A couple of Motherwell players, they just respect them. All it was consistent fouling. The referee was really weak in some stages.
You keep saying this, Billy. This sounds like real straw clutching. Who should have been sent off? apart from Andy, who should have been sent off?
Sorry?
Who should have been sent off?
The boy, is it Lattery? I don't know.
Slattery.
Consistent fouling. It must have been about six tackles in 5 minutes and never get booked for one of them.
Well, listen, that's what we're here for. I don't let my personal feelings get in the way of this issue or Andy's.
Listen, it's not just about Saturday. Regardless what anyone thinks about Saturday, Rangers are in a bad place. Since the Old Firm game at the start of January, Gordon, Rangers have had two clean sheets in 14 games, and one of them was against Fraserburgh. You know, whether Billy says they're shooting themselves in the foot, whatever, they can't keep opposition teams out. They are putting themselves at a disadvantage at the start of the game. You know, two down to Motherwell, two down to Kilmarnock, two down to St Mirren, one down to Queen's Park. They're not giving themselves a chance in football games. And, you know, it looks as if the 3-0 against Celtic was the exception that proved the rule that they're a poor team.
Come on, Andy. Going to stick up for you and your hatchet men teammates who do nothing but bring everyone down.
Yeah, listen, I don't even think Callum Slattery got booked in the game. So
that's what the complaint is from Billy.
Well, consistent filling to get yourself sent off would be damn well. You should have been booked. Even got booked. So listen, fair enough. I got booked. So
obviously
you've been happy enough with that. But yeah, listen, like I said, Billy's quite right to phone up and give his opinion. For me, again, like I says, I thought we were the dominant side. Barry Ferguson was very fair enough in his assessment by saying so as well. Like I said, did Rangers come into the game after the changes in the second half? Yes. But again, don't think they troubled us enough to win the game.
How was it, Paisley? I missed it. Did you celebrate the goals?
Well, I didn't see the first goal hit the back of the net for one. Second goal, I think there was maybe an arm race.
Uh-huh. Listen, that is all water under the bridge. This man led Motherwell to a famous victory at Ibrox. Don't you try and take it away
from
him.
I'm taking nothing away from this man. Wonderful performance. I think your new pal, your Sky buddy, Christopher from Ayrshire, had you in his team of the week, the Scottish Sun.
Have you noticed this though? Who didn't? Scottish Sun, team of the week, you're in it. Clyde One Super Scoreboard, team of the week, chosen by Roger Hanna.
There's no chance I'm in
you're
that.
You're not in it.
No chance
I can't believe
that.
Outrageous.
I'm amazed at 6:39. It's taking you this long to bring it up. That was deliberate. I thought I was going to get that at a minute past six.
Unbelievable.
Of course I'm not putting them in the team.
Anyway, too much fouling from the Motherwell players, says Billy. What do you think? Give us a call, Celtic fans, St Mirren fans. I know you've got a few things to get off your chest from the weekend, so let's do that. And in the meantime, I'll tell you about this.
Oh my God.
Dash, win a massive £425,000.
Yes, the lines are open on our new competition, Cash Dash, £425,000. That, you don't need me to tell you, is a serious amount of money. So text yes to 61025. If you do that, you get three entries for the price of one text. Texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at clyde1.com for 250 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls were charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rayo network competition are on our website, and the lines close 5 p.m. Friday. Somebody wins the lot. Every penny, you just answer your phone. So text yes to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. Honestly, what a Monday night dream team. You've got a man who captained Motherwell to a win at Ibrox in front of his childhood hero, Barry Ferguson. He's then on TV duty. And some interesting feedback on that, actually, that's been making its way to us. A lot of people wanted to know, someone sent me a message in to say that was that, hi lads, Gordon, ask Andy if that was Boydie's jacket he had on. It was a bit loose.
I've had a few of them, but you know what happened to that, didn't you?
Got to tell the nation.
So I'd left. You know, I'm early for everything.
You're good.
I'm always nice and early. I like to prepare myself, get myself set up the whatnot. So I left really, really early. I had my shirt and my jumper on for the night before. I thought, do you know what? I'm going to stop off at, I love Black Sheep coffee. I've had a Black Sheep.
Nah, good choice.
Really have, good, no? Right? So I stopped off at Black Sheep, got my coffee, got in the car, first sip, coffee all down the shirt. Had to go back home and steam iron a new jacket. So I picked up my oversized jacket and it didn't go down well.
Right.
Do you know what this is, right?
I thought you'd been helping out at a flooding.
I think this is where, you know, you modern fashionable types, there's something about oversized and TV that doesn't work the same. I don't know what it is.
I tell you what, I never learned my lesson for the first one I done because I was freezing.
I told you that the last time.
You did look slightly underdressed for Easter Road in March.
Compared to Boydie. Might have less year done.
Oh, I know.
But I'm not even talking about the makeup.
He's a seasoned pro. He knows.
Oh, he knows.
Heat first. Stephen's a Celtic fan on the line. How are you, Stephen?
Hi, Gordon, Andy, and Roger.
Hi, Stephen.
What's on your mind, Stephen?
Well, I've got a big drive tonight. Last time I was on, I was buying chicken thighs tonight. I've got a 7-hour drive up the road, so I've had massive time with going to news.
Quite right.
I've got a negative and I've got a positive.
Okay.
So I think I was on last year and I complained about Yang and how rotten he was, basically. But through some black magic that Brendan Rodgers has been doing and Yang's girlfriend's been over, it seems like we might actually have a player in him. So that was my kind of first point. My second point is...
Let's do that first then. We'll give you plenty of time for that long drive, don't you worry. Stephen's impressed with Yang. Have we won Hugh Keevans over? We'll need to wait and find out the rest of the week.
Well, I can exclusively reveal I had a conversation with a great man on Saturday night as I was making my
Which
way
one?
Home from the Smizer. Hugh.
Well,
I did. Actually, I spoke to Brendan Rodgers, who told me about Yang's girlfriend being here. I jovially asked Yang what difference it was making, and he said she was cooking him his dinner.
It's a really risky question, that, I need to be honest.
It is. And then I spoke to Hugh on the way home, who was saying everyone, including his own grandson, was mocking his opinion of Yang.
So he's upturned his form because his missus was giving him his dinner. Is that what Roger
said? Listen, that is straight from his Yang's dinner. Own mouth.
Listen, I think we've spoken about it a couple of times. I've felt for the start of the season that there's definitely been a player in Yang. I think the issue has always been that he's been more of an impact player for Celtic. I think any time he's came off the bench and it's been I need the urgency or I need enthusiasm and an injection of energy within the game, I think he's contributed well. I still feel like any time he's been given that starting berth is where he's kind of failed to live up to the hype, really, if you like to call it. But listen, it's difficult because he's up against a guy in Nicholas Kuhn who was the early favourite and the front runner for player of the year. On the other side, they've now got Jota that's just came into the building, and Maeda, who is now the clear favourite for the player of the year towards the end of the season. So he probably just has to settle for coming on and making an impact in games and whatnot. But I tell you what, he's certainly done it at the weekend, and I've never seen in his repertoire or attributes that a double-headed goal at the back post was going to be a part of that.
Do you think he can keep going on this trajectory, Stephen? I would be too strong and say, you know, the next Nicholas Kuhn, but, you know, he didn't settle straight away. It can take players a bit of time. You got hopes that this can just keep going for him?
It would be good if it could keep going. I think obviously the difference between Kuhn and Yang was did Yang not come in at the start of the season? So he's been here a lot longer, sure. So it just kind of felt like it was kind of dragging on. And like the Palma thing, it just sometimes you've got to cut your losses and get rid of a player if it just isn't working, and it doesn't work in our league.
A great assist for Maier as well. I gave Maier a goal of the week at the top of the show, Gordon. A terrific assist to see the pass and play the pass first time. The two-headed finishes were great. What about the finish for the one that was disallowed as well? It's probably better than the two-headed finishes. So he made an enormous impact off the bench, as did Luke McCowan, let me tell you. I think that double substitution really turned the game in Celtic's favour. And Yang is doing everything to impress Brendan Rodgers and to impress Hugh Keevans.
I've got a feeling, I wonder if his second point is about Adam Eder.
Well, Stephen?
No, it's not. I felt like the negative to the positive is I felt defensively at the weekend we were shaky. And yeah, I think a better team would have capitalised on some of the opportunities a lot quicker. One of my negatives is that we've still got Liam Scales, and he was the fault for the goal last week. And then I felt he's just overall a rotten player, and I'm sick of seeing him.
Wow. Strong language. Have we gone as far as that?
It's a warm tribute.
I was going to say.
Listen, it's not Liam Scales' fault. Big picture, Celtic have tried very, very hard and spent a great sum of money trying to replace Liam Scales. But, and correct me, stop me when you think I'm wrong here, Stephen, but I don't think Gustav Lagerbielk was going to replace him. I don't think Mike Navrotsky was going to replace him. Stephen Welsh has been shipped out on loan. Young Dane Murray's come back from his loan and hasn't replaced him. Austin Trusty cost £6 million. And for me, possibly better than Scales, but maybe not. He didn't look great until he went off for that nasty head knock on Saturday. And my prediction is that now Yang is off Hugh Keevan's naughty list, Austin Trusty might be in at number one on it.
He's already on there. I think he's very much got him in his sights as well. But is that a harsh assessment of Liam Scales for you?
Yeah, I think it is harsh for me. In terms of the defensive structure of Celtic, you know, we've talked about the Rangers and the Motherwell game, and sometimes the other team don't get the credit they deserve. In terms of the spectacle we watched, I thought St Mirren played very well, Gordon. I thought they were really unlucky not to go in at half-time in the lead. I thought they put Celtic under enormous pressure. I've lost count the amount of times I've seen Olisanya 1v1 with the goalie, because the way he can just sort of play on the shoulder and use his pace to get 1v1.
Because I think that was what was unfair, maybe, when Stephen said, you know, a better team would have taken advantage. I get what he means, but St Mirren are a nightmare. Olisanya's a nightmare, isn't he, if your defence is remotely shaky. Yeah, be one of the worst in the league.
Because as much as I've said that I've lost count the amount of 1v1s he's had, I've lost count the amount of times he's hit the side netting with Olisanya. But listen, if he was as clinical with his chances as he is pacey and powerful, he wouldn't be at St Mirren, that's for sure.
St Mirren were really good.
Very good.
Really, really good. And I like the big lad Mandron that's in next to him as well. He causes problems for teams.
Thank you very much to Stephen. Let's bring in, I think we can do it, let's squeeze it in before the news. We've got Paul, who's in Kirkintilloch. Take it away, Paul.
How are you doing, lads?
Good.
Hey, Paul.
Right, I've got a couple of points. My first point is I'm not going to blame the referee for Saturday's game. What I'm going to say is the referee didn't see the penalty claim, and then it goes to VAR. Now, I've heard that VAR didn't look at the decision to give St Mirren a penalty at 3-2, and I've heard that he did look at it, and both decisions overwhelmed me, because if he did look at it and he never gave a penalty, he obviously doesn't know what he's doing. And if he didn't look at it, then why didn't he look at it? That's what VAR is there for.
I think it's I was going to say to the guys, it's one of the most annoying bits about VAR, I think, is because they look at everything. Yeah. They say they look at everything. Yeah. But that doesn't mean that you reach the right decision. So I think rather than worry about did they look, did they not, I think what people sometimes mean is, well, he clearly there was no lengthy check, there was no like come over to the monitor, etc.
That's a really good point you make, because in the weekend when I think it was an eight minute delay in the Bournemouth Wolves game for a VAR check,
and they've got semi-automated offsides.
And when I saw it live, I thought it was a penalty.
Let's get to the nitty gritty of it.
It's not given.
Bad mistake for you.
It was very, very quickly turned away, and I thought, well, I've made a mistake here. It's clearly not a penalty. But it was very quickly dismissed by VAR. I thought it was a penalty.
Yeah, I'm conscious of time. Running penalty. Penalty for you. You said
it would have been looked at, but Stonewall penalty.
There's a touch on the ball. So is that the only thing you can think of as to why, you know?
Yeah, the Millwall goalie got a touch on the ball. I know what you mean.
I'm not saying that makes it okay.
He then went right through Roland Didobu. Of course, I thought it was a penalty.
But I've seen people use the Bayern Munich Celtic example where there's a touch in the ball and then the follow through. again, I'm not saying this makes it not a penalty, but we're obviously, when we're analysing it, you go, okay, maybe that's what's happened, maybe that's what's happened. Because if you all agree it's a mistake, we're just trying to figure out what the thinking might have been. Could that, is that it, do you think? Is it that slight touch is enough in that moment to say not?
Not for me, no. There's a slight touch in the ball, and then Alistair Johnson kind of go over the ball, and then the point of contact's actually quite high. Yeah, it's almost just above the ankle. So for me, I can't believe it wasn't given.
If you're trying to rationalise a decision, the only rational explanation, Gordon, is that the VAR official thought the touch on the ball was sufficient for it not to be a penalty.
Quickly, Paul, if you can, how frustrating is it because of the timing? Because you lose 5-2 and people might think, oh, you know, come on, it would hardly made a difference. But I suppose at the timing, it was really crucial, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Well, at 3-2 there, and with 20 minutes to go, we get this opportunity to maybe have a decision for a penalty, and it's taken away from us. And all we hear from Celtic and Rangers fans is how we all sit back, we don't have a go. Nobody can say that about St Mirren. I mean, yeah, we are a really good attacking team. We've got a great midfield. We press Celtic so highly that players like Ingles were throwing themselves onto the ground just with the press rather than any tackles. And my other point was about Dyson Maeda. Mm-hmm. I would just like to praise the guy, because he's the sort of professionals we need in football. He went through, got taken down for the penalty, tried to stay on his feet. He does everything right, and any kids watching football, Celtic, Rangers, St Mirren, should be looking at that guy and saying, that's what I want to be, rather than these so-called players that we have in this league now, who are throwing themselves down at every single challenge, rolling about, theatrical, and making referees' lives a hell. And referees just get bombarded with this all the time. So I never blame the referee, I blame VAR. Yeah. And they're there to make the decisions that the referee gets wrong. But the players need to step up. There's a cost of living crisis. People are spending a fortune to go to these games, and players are letting clubs down. And away fans are travelling, and they're just cheating them out of 90 minutes, and it's a spectator sport, is it not?
You sound like a fair man to me, Paul. Thank you very much. I don't know if there'll be much fairness when we play this. Let's do it.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Tough school on a Monday. Beat the Pundit time. You call us before 7 o'clock on 0141 951 1025. Take on Andy Halliday or Roger Hanna -2 and try and win a signed ball. Give us a call.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here to kick off the week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We've been looking at the Rangers' defeat, the Motherwell victory, as Andy Halliday would like to package it. We have been looking at the game in Paisley, a win for Celtic that moves them 16 points clear, getting very close to being able to wrap up that title. St Mirren fans have been on unhappy with the non-award of a penalty, so we can keep going on any of that stuff if you want to move it on. What about this takeover then? A deal agreed in principle with 49ers Enterprises for a takeover of Rangers. So it's taken a bit of a step forward today. Looks like it could be in place for the start of next season. How do you feel about that, Rangers fans? Edinburgh Derby, Andy Halliday's played in them, scored in them. He's now doing Sky Sports punditry in them. So if you've got any thoughts on that, Hibs or Hearts fans, now is the time to share them. And again, anything else, you know where we are. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. I have to say I've missed this. Obviously I had a week off, and I feel like Beat the Pundit was the bit I missed the most. I just like that bit of competition at this time on a weeknight evening. How was the, did you play last week? Was I?
You played last week.
You night, played.
You got 10 last week. Roger got 10 last week. Last Monday.
I wasn't here last Monday. No.
No.
So you got a 10.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thank
good
you.
On you.
And by the way, if I remember correctly, the caller you played was very good.
It was.
You'd done unbelievably well to win it.
God, 10, sensational. Right, Peter's on the line. How are you, Peter?
Hi, how are you doing?
Not bad. You're a St Mirren fan, Peter?
I am, yes.
Still angry about that penalty decision?
I just totally agree with what everybody said. Don't know why it was given. Why it wasn't given, sorry. Can't believe it. Don't know how VAR didn't pick up on it.
5-2 feel harsh in the end?
I think so. Thought we played really well, to be honest with you. Probably one of the best that I've seen all season, even though we did get beat 5-2.
There was a moment, I think, after that when Celtic went up the pitch, and I thought, obviously, 5-2 is already harsh, Roger. I'm at, like, it kind of nearly went to 6, it and did. I thought, this would be incredible.
It did. There was the one that, as we said, Yang had disallowed for offside and what have you. It just had that feel about it. It was a fantastic game of football. St Mirren really played their part in the fantastic game of football. Thoroughly enjoying it.
Because, like, 6 is, like, sort of outrageously bad. That's a real, real heavy defeat, isn't it? That would have been. Would have been
I think 5-2 flattered Celtic. 6-2, maybe rubbing salt in the wounds.
Now, apparently, Peter has beaten you before, Roger Hannah, when you were on -1.
Oh, I do not want to play Peter.
So I don't know how this is going to work on -2.
It's
this is going to be like Motherwell going to Ibrox twice.
It's going to be a rematch.
Listen, the coin. You know, I trust the coin heads. It will be.
I drew with you as well, Roger, on when you were even Stevens.
Oh, fun
here. This
is my nemesis.
Here, I'm setting myself up for a fall here.
Anyway, heads, it's Andy Halliday. Tails, Roger Hanna.
Tails.
It's heads.
Oh.
I'm up against that big time.
So you've never lost Beat the Pundit in your, what, 2 attempts, Peter?
No, I have lost. I think I played a few times. Last time I was on, I think it was Kenny Miller.
Kenny's very good as well, though.
But Andy, you're 100%. Hate to tell you.
On a Monday.
Right, let's give Andy something else to listen to. Peter, I don't need to tell you the rules. You practically wrote them. 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yep, no worries.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who are Celtic's current kit provider?
Adidas.
Which Hibs player played for Newcastle and Crystal Palace?
Gale.
How many games have Rangers lost in the league this season?
9.
True or false, Aberdeen are the only Premiership team to score at Celtic Park in the league this season?
True.
Name any of the two clubs that connect all three McGinn brothers.
St Mirren.
Who's the only SPFL team to begin with the letter B?
Bonnie Rigg.
Who's got more appearances for Rangers, Barry Ferguson or Alan McGregor?
Alan McGregor.
Okay, Andy Halliday, can you hear us?
It's mad how sometimes feels long. I feel quick again.
I thought it was quick. There we go. I'll pull back. I'll pull out of that tackle because I was going to
moan about
the
time.
Yes, I did. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Who's Celtic's current kit provider?
Adidas.
Which Hibs player played for Newcastle and Crystal Palace?
Dwight Gale.
How many games have Rangers lost in the league this season?
9.
True or false, Aberdeen are the only Premiership team to score at Celtic Park in the league this season. Name any of the two clubs that connect all three McGinn brothers.
St Mirren.
Who's the only SPFL team to begin with the letter B?
Bonnie Rigg Rose.
Who's got more appearances for Rangers, Barry Ferguson or Alan McGregor?
Alan McGregor.
Which East Fife player is currently the highest league scorer in Scotland? Ooh, got one extra question, Peter. Jinxer?
I think so. I think basically said the same answers, didn't we?
Pretty much. Let's go through them. So I don't know if there's much surprise. Let's find out. Celtic's current kit provider Adidas both got it.
I took too long for that.
I did worry for you. But then you got one more question. Dwight Gale, I think you stalled a little bit on that one, Peter, but you got it.
Yeah.
2-2. How many games have Rangers lost in the league, Roger Hanna?
I thought 7.
Right, I'm now really worried at this because it says on my sheet 6. You two said 9 with such confidence.
No, they've lost 10 in all competitions, but you think European wins as well.
Yeah, exactly. You look at that league table, I've got it in front of me for the avoidance of doubt.
So they are.
You've got the league table in front. Technically, you're allowed. If you've got notes there in front of you, I don't mind, but you're wrong, both of you. So we move on. 2-2. True or false, Aberdeen are the only Premiership team to score in. Score at Celtic Park in the league. It is true.
3.
It's incredible. So we're still level. St Mirren and Hibs both connect all three McGinn brothers. You both got that.
Peter.
You both got Bonnie Rigg Rose. You both got Alan McGregor.
Oh, I've got the Alan Troughton. I've nicked it.
you've nicked
Alan
it.
Troughton. I should have gone slower. Do you know what it is?
I'd have been beaten, and -2 would have beaten me.
Yeah, you would have. He would have had to be. You know what's annoying, Peter? I think they've got in my head. They say that I go too slow for them, and that I try and give the listeners every chance. And then he got an extra one.
No, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. I even hesitated with Aberdeen one as well.
Fair enough. You're an honest man, Peter. We'll get you on for your 15th appearance on Beat the Pundit.
Fair play, Peter. What a game that was.
Well done, Peter.
Cheers.
Well done. Brilliant. What was that then for you? Wow. Did you get all 8? Oh no, you got 7.
I got 7. 6.
A 7-6. What that's, a standard.
That's the bar set high for this week.
And I'll tell you what, if that's not enough to break Andy Halliday's 100% record, it's hard to see him.
Dice, what a weekend you've had.
I'd love to know if he'd have got Alan Trout in there as well. If he'd have got Alan Trout in, you should be sitting here.
That is 11 wins, 0 defeats for you and Beat the Pundit this season. You're a knowledgeable man.
Last year?
The league table is an affront to you because you're apparently level
with Stephen O'Donnell,
who's played once. Aye,
it's
a 100%
disgrace.
Record.
Can I just say, Saturday, your captain of Motherwell winning at Ibrox. Sunday, you're setting style trends on the telly at Easter Road. Monday, you're winning 7-6 and Beat the Pundit. What are you going to do on Tuesday?
What am I doing? I'm doing something tomorrow.
Oh, I know what you're doing tomorrow.
Oh, there's a wee bounce game against Partick Thistle. I'll see Mark Wilson there.
That's what you're doing tomorrow. You need stuff, Mark Wilson.
Go one of those slide tackles into the, you know, if you can get the chance, slide right into the Thistle dugout, wipe him out. Yeah. That would be great, wouldn't it?
I might pass out. Just go chase it.
You don't have your old Rangers Daniel Kuzan jersey still, do you? Wear it in warm up.
I don't. That was a jacket I wore on Sunday at the Hibs Hearts game.
Anyway, keep the calls coming. 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB as we keep going through the talking points from the weekend. If you think there's something we've not brought up, we'll not be able to bring them all up. So please do it for us. Be quite keen to get some thoughts on the Edinburgh Derby. It's a big deal. I know we're in this side of the M8, but a big deal generally. And I think for the neutral, a good spectacle. And Hibs, can be third place perhaps. You'd have to say they're looking good for it. What about this takeover business as well? We've not really touched on that. A deal agreed in principle for Rangers to get that US-led takeover. So we'll see what the next couple of months looks like. Let's hear a bit from Barry Ferguson. We heard from him earlier talking about the likelihood that they will lose to Fenerbahce and Celtic if they play like they did against Motherwell. Let's hear some of his other thoughts.
Very surprised. I've been with him 4 days. Look, I know I've got good players, but it's when you're at Rangers, it's not just being about being a good player. You need to have other attributes. I've seen a lot of the attributes that are needed to be a Rangers player on Wednesday night. I've never seen that in the first 45 minutes, which frustrates me, angers me. It was nowhere near what I asked them to do. Yeah, I was just, at times I couldn't believe what I was watching. But again, listen, as I said, I got a reaction in the second half. Was it enough? Clearly wasn't, because obviously we never took anything from the game.
Going to be an interesting week ahead, Roger Hanna, off the back of that Motherwell defeat, because, you know, some of the stuff, we covered this a bit, but some of the stuff the Rangers fans were hanging on to, it's starting to erode, you know, like we said, even the Ibrox form or whatever. So the next thing could be that this magic that appears on a Thursday night disappears as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a really testing spell for Rangers, because the games this season, you know, they've got Fenerbahce at Ibrox, then Celtic at Celtic Park. I think the other games before the split, Gordon, I think if they go to Dens, that half five game on the Saturday night, they're at home to Hibs, who are in their best run of league form in 76 years, and then they have to go to Pittodrie. And then you've got five post-split games against the other five best teams in the country. There's not what you would say a nailed-on fixture that Rangers could look at and say, ah, well, we'll take 3 points there, you know. It's a really, really difficult run of games. And we've spoken long and weary about how poor Rangers are. Barry Ferguson, for me, summed it up perfectly there. You can be a very good footballer. That's not enough at Rangers. You need other qualities. You need to have the bravery. You need to be able to handle the pressure. And this squad of players doesn't look like they're brave enough or can handle the pressure. And this run of games that they're now facing, the next 11 games, possibly even more if they get past Fenerbahce, they are, to say the least, daunting.
Let's bring in Barry from Dumfries. How are you, Barry?
Not bad, yourself?
Yeah, good, thanks, Barry. What's happening?
Oh, well, I'm getting a bit of stick.
Are you?
Ah, well, I went to Ibrox early on Saturday. I'm big Andy Hardy fan, so...
No. Don't tell me.
You're the man. Are you the man,
no,
Barry?
This is too good to be true. You are not the guy who wore the Andy Halliday T-shirt.
For a wee bit of banter, I take my Andy Hardy scarf and my Hardy top. And, of course, all the Motherwell fans have plastered it all over Facebook.
Well, you better believe it. I got sent it many times.
Oh, you did he?
On Saturday night. Seriously, that is you.
There needs to be some loyalty in football.
Listen, I don't mind it, Barry. I heard you, I seen you and heard you during the warm-up. I had 10 teammates.
I thought you did that one. Give me a shout-out, like.
I had 10 teammates next to me asking me if you were my
picture.
Uncle.
Do we have the picture? I'm sure. I thought there he is.
I hope this is your life and that Barry's stand behind this double door in the studio. He's about to come in.
I did it before the game started, changing it to my Ferguson top.
Right, now I know this is true, right? Because someone said to me, a Motherwell fan who saw you, Barry, sent me the picture and said that that's the story I heard, that you changed into a Barry Ferguson top.
That is true.
I actually thought to myself...
Look at the expression in the boy's face on the left.
I thought to myself as well, Joe Savage never told me he was a Rangers fan. And I'm ringing by you.
Two of my favourite Rangers players of all time were on the same stadium, Ken.
Completely in the different spectrum of ability as well, but thank you very much, Barry.
Did he play well, Barry? Were you proud even though he was beating your team?
Well, he does usually beat Rangers.
Well, that's true.
He scored the last time and I did he leave the group chat.
I can't believe this. Like, I just thought... No, I thought you'd paid someone to turn up at the game dressed like that.
All my teammates were asking me if it was my uncle.
So your teammates were all aware of this?
They were.
I thought it was all good banter. I just have the scarf up and that, Ken. And like I say, when the game was about to start, I got into my Ferguson top. So I'm getting a bit of sick here and there, as you imagine.
Is it in the bin now, or are you still going for it?
I'll never get in the bin. It's on the Halley top. I've got a signed top.
Andy's now taking a selfie in the studio with you.
I'll get it in the group chat for you now.
In the background. With the shirt on. What did you make of the game, incidentally, seriously, from a Rangers perspective?
Check in, sorry, mate.
What did you make of the fact that your team lost despite all the Andy Halliday hype?
Disaster. I've been listening to the show today. It was a really good Millwall goal. Rangers just won out the races. Nearly got the equaliser towards the end. We're not playing for a lot now. Just like dignity, hoping that Barry brings some, you know, winning mentality into the dressing room, Ken. So we've got Fenerbahce on Thursday. So basically, we've got four big games: Fenerbahce twice and Celtic twice. So actually, we're playing for pride a lot of time, so...
Yep, fair enough. Thank you very much to Barry, who's given us a good piece of visual enjoyment for those watching on the live stream tonight as well. Well, there he is with his Andy Halliday. The picture's not even in its full glory, I think, to fit it on the telly here, because it's an Andy Halliday scarf above his head, isn't it? Aye. As well. That's...
I don't have many fans, so it was nice to speak to him, Barry. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Uncle Barry, as Andy calls him. What about Lewis, who's on the line? How are you, Lewis?
I'm good, guys. Thanks for having us on.
A pleasure. What did you make of the game from the Claret and Amber perspective then?
From the Claret and Amber perspective, so I was there on Saturday, and I mean, I've been a Motherwell supporter all my life, but the last two games, so the Dundee game and the game on Saturday there, I just think that Michael Wimmer's got a system for us that completely has kind of revolutionised the squad in a way. I've heard the other side, the game on Saturday, the perspective of the sort of Rangers fans saying that we're barely in the game. We just dominated the game. I think Barry Ferguson is right. We did dominate against Rangers. The press, we've got a pressing system now. I think it kind of totally changes how Motherwell's played, as far as I can remember, under any other manager. And I think that Michael Wimmer's really got the system right.
What's different, Andy? What, five training sessions, it looked very different. So fair play to you lot and him. Come on, that's why you're here. Give us all the specifics.
How long we got?
Not that long.
Obviously the biggest one, no, Lewis just mentioned it there, is the sort of out of possession structure. He wants us to get after teams. He wants us to be a high press. He wants us to try and turn over the ball in the defensive third of the opposition, and I think we've done that extremely well over the last couple of games. You know, we tried to implement it against Dundee United straight away within one training session, but very difficult when you've only got one training session. You can't go through know the triggers, the details, and know who goes where, what the trigger is. And obviously over time, albeit only five training sessions, the boys have done well in terms of taking in the information, trying to implement it as best we can. And like I says, I think we've done it extremely well over the last couple of games. It's still going to take time to get used to doing it for 90 minutes because it's hard work. We're into a stage of the season where boys have played a lot of football as well. But I think everyone can see the improvements over the last
couple of
performances.
Did everyone get on board, you know, quickly? Is that hard? Is it a big change? Were there any, you know, concerns that you could pull it off? Because it's not easy mid-season to just go and kind of change a style of play, is it?
Listen, I've never really understood that question. Listen, I know we're going a wee bit off topic here, but I criticised Fluke Clement at times for saying how long, you know, he was, you know, regurgitating that it's a new squad, it's a new squad of players, they have to get used to it. I think if you've got, you know, if you've got plenty of information and you're doing the proper work on the grass, I think you can implement it pretty quickly. And I think we have. I do think it's going to take time in terms of, like I said, some boys have got 30 games under their belt. You know, for myself at 33 year old playing a two-man midfield, it's hard work. And, you know, the manager's constantly referenced that, you know, certain areas of the pitch it's probably more difficult within this system than others. So give us your maximum for the 65, 70, 75 minutes it may well be. And that's why we've got, you know, a good squad to come on and change the game, like Harry Payton done in the game against Dundee on Wednesday. Comes on, gets the assist for Dan Casey's winner.
This was always possible, Lewis, just because of how tight the league was. But clearly, a couple of weeks ago, you and your fellow fans would have been thinking this is all about a relegation battle. And now you're in the top six. So, back-to-back wins, what are you thinking about what can be achieved here?
I'm a very level-headed sort of fan. As long as we stay in that league and as long as we're competitive, I'm happy. I was not one of the people that jumped on the kind of bandwagon of criticising Stuart Kettlewell in any way, shape or form. And I condone that whole dialogue as well that's kind of been echoed around with regards to any abuse that the guy was getting. It's not fair. But the way that we are sitting now, I feel that as long as we can maintain some form of top six, I'd be happy. But at the same time, I don't care. As long as the guys, Andy, yourself as well, you know, as long as everyone's going out and giving it their all for the club, I think that's all the fans want to see.
Great games before the split as well. Gordon Lewis will genuinely be excited because I think Celtic, Rangers, Hibs, Aberdeen, Dundee United look to me to be sort of cemented top six. So there's one game, one place to go at, currently held by Motherwell, but three of your four games, St Mirren at home, Killie away, Hearts at home, are three of the sides that are going, you know, head to head with you for that last place in the top six. I think it's, you know, you're away at Aberdeen as well. I think it's a really exciting chase for the top six, and Motherwell central to it.
Thank you very much to Lewis on the line, 01419511025. Good time to call, and we will get you on next if we can.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. It's 0141 951 1025. You can tweet us as well at ClydeSSB. We've actually not taken any calls yet on this takeover business at Rangers, being at the stage where it's been agreed in principle and both parties believing it could be in place for the start of next season. If you want to do that, please do. What about Paisley? I don't think we've fully analysed Paisley. We've done a bit on Yang. Hugh Keevans has been in touch. We've done a bit on Liam Scales. We've done a bit on the penalty incident, but there's more there. And I'll keep hammering the Edinburgh Derby point as well, if you so wish. Right, the Crazy Pony has sent this question in. I quite like it, I have to say. Good for you too. Can you name the top eight Champions League appearance makers who've played in Scotland? So can you name the top eight Champions League appearance makers who have played in Scotland?
It's got to be Van Dijk.
He's on the list, but he's nowhere near the top.
Wow. Ronald De Boer.
He's on the list, but he's even further away from the top.
Oh, so no Andy Robertson then?
Yes.
Andy Robertson.
Do you know he's made one more Champions League appearance than Virgil van Dijk?
That's amazing to me, because Virgil van Dijk plays every game.
I know Robertson, there'll be that season longer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, was it one season longer?
Yeah, I think so.
Within the champion. Anyway, it's one more appearance. So
can you tell us how many or no?
Robertson 56, Van Dijk 55, and De Boer 54. Let's leave it there because that's a good start. That is a good start. And didn't Van Dijk have that season out?
Just
anyway,
one, just one, just Robertson. Yeah, is that the only one that was right?
No, they were all right.
Oh, I thought he says. No.
He's not at all.
All right.
Sorry. Yeah.
Right, so Van Dijk, Robertson, De Boer.
Sorry. Yeah, they're all on. They're bottom three on the list, but they're in the top eight. So let's leave it there because we've got plenty of time, and we can get back to it. Let's get a bit more reaction from Paisley. If you want to join in the phones, please do. I haven't given the thoughts of the managers yet, so let's hear what they had to say in the aftermath of that game. Let's go Brendan Rodgers first. He's challenging his team to sprint over the finishing line after moving 16 points clear.
Well, we always knew that this was going to be a tough place to come, and we can only look after our own selves. I'm just so happy for the players that they've come through. What I mentioned a few months ago was going to be a really, really busy period of intensity, of runs. And I think that's just a little bit that we'll get back now. I've always wanted to sprint over the line in any of the competitions that we've been in. So we sit in a great position, you know, 16 points clear with the goal difference, you can say, is an extra point. But we're in a really, really good place, and the players are so deserving of it. But we still have a lot of work to do. You know, we want to get into the semi-final, a tough game next week, but we'll be ready for that. And then we want to finish the job in the league as quick as we can.
I'll be honest, Roger, it's not, I hadn't really thought about it. And my brain never really goes to kind of when and where. And then I was doing some stuff for Sky earlier, and that they were kind of wanting to hone in on the point of, you really are looking at that. So you go Celtic 16 points clear, 9 games to play. So the arithmetic now becomes fairly simple. Obviously there's the cup, and it should be a cracker against Hibs. They then play Rangers, so you've got, great, it's the head to head. And if Celtic win it, 19 points with 8 to play. So really you're then looking at 2 games further on. And that's if Rangers keep winning.
Yeah.
So if everybody was to keep winning, but Celtic win the Old Firm game, 6th of April,
Fifth.
The penultimate game before the split, that would be the day. So we're getting pretty close, potentially.
Listen, very close. It just seems to have sort of rushed up. I think those 2 Rangers defeats, the 2 home defeats to Motherwell and St Mirren, have really brought it into focus. It's been a long time since we've had a sort of a title fight. Even the year Rangers won the league, it was won in March. It's a long time since it's gone down anything close to the wire. Celtic will win the title before the split. Which is a shame for the competition, but you can take nothing away from Brendan Rodgers and his players. They hit 5 against Aberdeen on Tuesday night. They hit 5 at St Mirren on Saturday night. They once again have been the outstanding team in the country. And whenever it is, whether it's a Hearts game, whether it's a St Johnstone game, whether it's the one after, they will be deserving champions again.
By date, Rangers won it the earliest, Andy, the season that Rodgers referring to. Brendan Rodgers' first Celtic team did it with 8 games to spare. So we're now looking at somewhere in the region of 6-ish, if Celtic can stay on track. Is that, see that kind of stat that Rodgers said there, is that the sign of just, you know, they were in a tight game at the weekend and they weren't at their best, at parts. St Mirren were very good and scored 5. Was it vintage against Aberdeen? Probably not, and scored 5. They're just foot to the floor, aren't they?
Yeah, well, I think everyone can agree that if Celtic turn up on the day, Celtic will win the game. But the fact of the matter is, even if Celtic don't turn up, they've tend to win the game this season, and not only win it, but win it well. You know, Roger just mentioned there about the lack of title race and the last time we properly had one. It felt last year that we were going to get one, especially with that Old Firm game going into the game at Ibrox towards the end of the season. Obviously got away from Rangers in the end after a couple of poor results, but gave you that almost half hope from a neutral perspective that maybe this year it was going to be a lot tighter. I mean, not half been proved wrong, because we're sitting at 16 points and Celtic are 3 games away for the title.
I keep those calls coming. If you want to join in, please do. 01419511025. I've actually got something to give away potentially very soon as well.
Beetroot crisps.
They were good.
They were good,
by
the way.
Did you enjoy them?
They were very good.
There is a box there.
I know,
still in the studio.
That'd be good. I'm watching my figure.
So am I, but actually. They're quite tempting.
They're nice.
Yeah. They were. Anyway, John's on the line. Take it away, John.
Hi, nice to see you back, Gordon. I was worried about you last week. I hear congratulations.
Thank you very much, John. Thank you. Don't need to worry about me.
I was worried. I was asking where you were, and congratulations, Andy. It must have broke your heart on Saturday, my man. But anyway,
win bonus, anyway, John. No. Nothing breaks your heart when you pick up a win bonus.
True. No, what my point was, and about maybe what we're doing well with you, Gordon and Gordon Dale. I thought Lennon Miller showed maturity beyond his years again on Saturday. I thought he was brilliant. You know what I mean? So I hope Celtic, I mean, I think if we went and signed him in the summer, he's just going to flourish under Brendan Rodgers' tuition. So just want to know what the guys think.
Andy Haldy's not going to sell him on, I don't think. But,
well, first and
how
foremost,
close is he to getting back to his best after his injury?
I think the last couple of games have showed that he's already there, to be fair. And again, I think it was going to take time. It was an injury that actually kept him out longer than that was initially expected. And again, such as the caliber of player Lennon Miller, there was no bedding in period. There was no 2 or 3 weeks of training before you could get back in the team. We're at the business end of the season where you need your best players available, so he got flung straight in. And again, just wasn't quite at that match sharpness yet, that match fitness. But absolutely been back to his best over the last couple of games. And you made a wee joke earlier on in the show, Gordon, about Roger Hanna's team of the week. I now need to see it because there has to be multiple Motherwell players in that team of the week.
Yeah, well, it's just everyone apart from you. Is Lennon Miller in it?
I think it's 10 Motherwell players in Yang.
No, you've got Lennon Miller, mm-hmm. Callum Slattery, mm-hmm. Dan Casey, mm-hmm. and Tom Sparrow. Mm-hmm. No place for Andy Halliday.
It's a difficult balancing mm-hmm. act.
There you go. You like that? Schlupp is in there. Yang, Nicky Cadden, Kevin Nisbet, Vichko Chevelle, Jack Iredale. How good you've got Jordan Amisa. He's brilliant, the Ross County keeper. Very good. He's so good.
The double save from Marley Watkins at 0-0 in the first half was phenomenal.
There was one in the midweek game against St Johnston as well.
He was excellent against St Johnston.
Oh, honestly.
Yeah, anyway, he's doing very well.
That's by the by. John, having said that, the Celtic midfield currently is not doing too bad, is it?
He was doing great, but obviously Lennon Miller is one for the future, you know what I mean? But I think it would be a perfect fit. I think it would fit in like a glove in itself, to be the same with Brendan. But, I mean, I think he's just with the perfect fit. And I just spoke to the producer, I actually felt sorry for St Mirren Saturday, as Andy just said there as well. Celtic haven't been great the last two games, nearly have against Aberdeen. How they were 3-0 up last week, it was just every chance they took. I felt sorry for St Mirren Saturday. I think St Mirren are a very good football team, you know what I mean? And as that boy earlier on made the point, they're a team that would like to go forward. So Stephen Robinson's doing a good job there. So, but honestly, I just think Lennon Miller would be brilliant, a brilliant fit for Celtic, especially Brendan Rodgers coaching them.
Well, they tried in January. Yeah.
People wonder where your goals were when they come from when Kyogo left in January, John.
He's having a rough time out.
It's a shame.
He
won 4-0 at the weekend.
It's funny, the Celtic midfield, they very seldom take off Callum McGregor, and he had a wee problem with his calf on Saturday, and they took him off and Luke McCown came on, and Engels moved in one sort of deeper role, like a number six role, if you like, and Luke McCown went to the right and Hattie stayed on the left. And you sometimes wonder if the midfield will be as effective when Callum McGregor's not there. I thought they were brilliant. I thought Engels looked really good in that role. McCown was terrific. Pace, energy. Hatate seemed to, you know, spring on as well when it was that three in midfield. So they're very well set. Bernardo's out for a wee while with an injury. I don't think you'll see Odin Thiago home back in the building, John. So Lennon Miller could come in and add something there. It'll be interesting to hear that. Of those three positions, Andy, the six that Callum sits in, or the two either side, where would Lennon Miller be at his best?
I like him as a more box-to-box, just because I think he's got all the attributes. I don't think he should be nullified to just one area of the pitch. And in all fairness, I think Callum McGregor, and a prime Callum McGregor, even as a holding midfield, he always likes to burst forward. You see the amount of goals he scored this season, absolutely. Yeah. So, again, you don't want to restrict him when he's got so much going forward. He's been our main creative force actually this year in terms of chances created. So you can see he's got that that bit to his game in the final third as well. So I do think that 8, but not for Celtic. You can't play for Celtic, no chance.
Who's got more assists this season out of you and him?
Oh, I'm winning by 2 now.
So there's a competition, isn't there?
Yeah, the first goal against Dundee put me 2 up, so he's starting to sweat.
Having said that, you've played every game and he's missed.
I have, but I still reckon in terms of minutes, it's probably closer.
But that's just because you come off early.
And he plays 90 every game.
Come off on Saturday.
Two up. He did. He's came off the last couple, but again, right. You know, do I call him Gaffer or do I call him Vimmer? I'm not sure. Yeah, we'll say Vimmer.
Let's
for
go
now.
Manager.
Vimmer's. He asks a lot. He's eights and he's sixes, so they're going to be coming off a lot, I'd imagine.
Is he a gegging press man?
It's full gegging press.
Is he?
How has he been generally? Because I'm starting to wonder if there is a bit of a bromance there.
Well, it was discussed in the show on Saturday, Gordon. So, I was nodding away as it was sitting in his visor.
There's the picture put up of you two hugging after the game. He's given you the captaincy. There was pictured having a deep and meaningful before the game at Tannadice as well. It just feels like you've really hit it off.
Yeah, I mean, if you're leaning towards calling me a teacher's pet here, that's one thing I'll never be. So
right, this is why I loved the discussion on Saturday, because you can imagine DL and Wilson were desperate to portray you as the type but I also
knew, I hate that,
and I know you would. I knew you would. You hate that, but it's funny.
Not listen, it's a professional relationship. I think you kind of
thanks for clearing that up.
What I do, like, and to be fair, most managers I've had do, he does kind of lean on his more experienced players, shall I say, because he's even came out in interviews and says doesn't know the league or clubs or players as well as his squad of players. So he'll quite often ask you about certain individuals, what you think or whatnot. But ultimately, as always, it's his decision. Can you follow the game plan?
When's your contract up?
End of season.
End of season.
It's funny that. Mm. Next Monday night, sitting in between you two, what do you think? Could arrange that? Surely.
Oh, I would have thought so.
Listen, let's pull some strings. Thank you, John.
Barryford and Freesh, you mean?
We could fit them both in. 01419511025. Right, I think I'm going to regret this. We've got the worst joke ever coming up from Andy Halliday, but let's take it away.
The Glasgow International Comedy Festival with Clyde One.
Right, all this week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we're celebrating Clyde One's official partnership with the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. We've got tickets, we've got meals, we've got all sorts to give away, and all you need to do is give us the punchline of a football joke. Okay, we're going to get Andy to deliver the beginning. You need to give us the punchline. Now, it's two tickets for Connor Burns at the Kings on March the 15th, with two courses and drinks at the Duke's Umbrella before the show. Sounds like a pretty good night out that. So you get to see Connor in all his glory and get the dinner and drinks in there as well. All you have to do is give us the punchline to this football joke as delivered by Andy Halliday.
Why was the best footballer in the world asked to tidy up their room?
Say it again.
Why was the best footballer in the world asked to tidy up their room?
Incredible.
I'd love to know Barry from Dumfries' answer.
I don't know how you fit Halliday into that. Call 01419511025 with the punchline. You could be off to the Glasgow International Comedy Festival and check out everything else that's going on at glasgowcomedyfestival.com.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah. Still plenty of time to call to make a football point, but you're going to have to fight your way through everyone who's called in for this. I thought I was getting dramatic comedy music.
Glasgow International Comedy Festival with Clyde One.
Hope the jokes are a bit quicker at the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. Anyway, all this week we're giving tickets away, and tonight we've got two tickets for Connor Burns at the Kings on March 15th, but we're throwing in two courses and drinks at the Duke's Umbrella before the show as well. And all we wanted to do was give us the punchline to Andy Halliday's football joke.
Why was the best footballer in the world asked to tidy up the room?
Okay, on the line to play is Stuart from Barrhead. How are you, Stuart?
I'm fine, thank you very much.
And why was the best footballer in the world asked to tidy up the room?
Because it was Messi.
Because he was Messi. I'll take that. Well done to Stuart. I managed a semi-genuine laugh there. What are you shaking your head at? Dad jokes are your thing.
That's very true. I'll give you that.
Maybe the cheek to pick us up on Vimmer chicken dinner or whatever it was earlier on. Well done, Stuart. You're off to see Connor Burns with some dinner and drinks at the Duke's Umbrella. Are you happy with that?
Delighted.
Good man. Well done, Stuart. We'll have more tickets in the nicest way possible. You can stop phoning now. I can see many people trying. That is it. Over. Stuart's won. But we're going to do that every night this week. So thank you very much to Stuart. Right, how are you two faring on the full time teaser? What a busy end to the show. This is going to be, who are the eight top, the top eight Champions League appearance makers who've played in Scotland? You've gone Ronald de Boer, he's got 54, Virgil van Dijk, one more, Andy Robertson, one more, which means the top five are all still missing.
Oh, big hitters. Well, if we've got Ronald, we must have Frank De Boer.
81 for Frank De Boer.
Roy Keane.
Roy Keane on 74. So you've got three to get, and we'll get them before the end of the show. Right, the phone lines are now chock-a-block with people trying to answer the world's worst football joke. So we can leave it be for now. You can try tomorrow. I don't know how we're going to filter through these and try and get any football points on. I suppose that is the challenge. But there we go. Go on then. Right, Mr. Pundit, I have to say, I like to criticise you all and slag you. I thought your punditry debut was very good. Good Thank insight. You knew your stuff, as I didn't expect anything less. The outfit, fine, we've done that, but the punditry was good. What was the Edinburgh Derby? Sum it all up.
As frantic as ever, which, as always, for me, makes it entertaining viewing. I thought it started off at a fashion that I felt we were going to get a real classic. I can only assume, don't get me wrong, I felt the wind there, but I can only assume that the wind played a huge part in the first half, because I felt that, you know, four out of the five defenders on the pitch just couldn't deal with straight balls or making hashes of clearances. And, you know, obviously it happens for the equaliser with Hearts when Rocky Bashiri sort of class a routine clearance to the edge of the box where George Grant gets his finish. The first goal's bizarre. I mean, it looks as if the pass is intended for Nicky Cadden down the left-hand side, and then it actually bounces in the six-yard box by the time Martin Boyle gets the first touch on it and gets the goal. But I must say, I thought Hearts had loads of control in the first half without really hurting Hibs, whereas I think Hibs seized control in the second half and really put the pressure on Hearts. I thought Nicky Cadden in particular must have put in a dozen outstanding deliveries, not too dissimilar to the delivery put in at Tynecastle that got the winner for Dwight Gayle. And I thought in the end Hibs thoroughly deserved the win.
Fantastic stat. Hearts didn't have a shot on target after George Grant equalised in the ninth minute. That says it all. Front three, Shankland, Kabangu and Wilson look as if they could score goals most games, and Hibs really, you know, they suffocated the supply to them.
I love Nicky Cadden's career trajectory, because he's a good player, and he's been a very good player for Livingston and got a move down, but he's had to keep sort of plugging away, and he's 28 and he's God, absolutely flying.
Gordon, I can't remember what game it was that David Gray went from a back four to a back three.
Round about the Aberdeen game.
I can't remember Ross whether it was County. Choice was it? Or whether he was forced into it by injuries or selection injuries. Let's give him the credit. It's been absolutely fantastic. It suits all the players. Rocky Bashiri, God love him, is less exposed when he's got another defender either side of him. The Cadden twins, you know, for years, Chris on the right-hand side, I wasn't sure whether it was a right-back or a right midfielder. That right wing-back was fantastic. Nicky on the left, even better than Chris has been. The lad Triantis in the middle of the park might have a claim to be the most improved player in the Premiership this season. He has been terrific. Martin Boyle, you know what you're getting. Josh Campbell, one on, not quite a number 10 as you would, you know, a traditional number 10, but one on from Triantis has been absolutely terrific. He suddenly found the right position for so many of the players in the team, and the reward is the best run since 1949, third place, they're going to Europe, and David Gray's been going to be a contender for manager of the year.
Will they finish third now?
I think they're favourites. I still think there's so much to play for. I can understand why they're favourites given they're on a 15 game unbeaten run. And 15 game unbeaten run, that's a good run for a Rangers and a Celtic, never mind any team outside the Old Firm. So I certainly think they're favourites. But I just look at the league table just now, Gordon. You know, we've won two games on the trot just now. If we never won the two games, we're talking about us probably being in the bottom two. By winning the two games, we're sitting sixth in the table. And yet there is that little bit of a gap up into third and fourth, but not too much considering there's still nine games to play.
Yeah, I mean, the winner from Jack Iredale, one of you gave it goal of the weekend, the sunshine on Leith,
he should have retired this morning. It's not going to get any better for Jack Iredale than that.
Yeah.
I mean, what a hit. What a celebration. The sunshine on Leith. Can I tell you now? Hugh Keevans won't have liked that. Too emotional.
Too happy. Yeah, ultimately.
He'll say, where was the kid? You'd have thought Hibs had won the World Cup. But it was nice.
Are Kilmarnock in a bit of bother?
I hope not, because Rugby Park's handy for me.
Uh-huh.
You have to say yes because of the games before the split. I think they've still to go to Celtic Park before the split as well, haven't they? So they will need to buck up. I'm astonished. You look at them in paper, you would think that they would be higher up the league, but listen, results dictate what goes on.
big win against Ross County, kind of 6-pointer that we spoke of, and then nothing doing between Dundee and St Johnstone, as you were, one apiece. So St Johnstone bottom on 25, Dundee 3 points better off. Right, let's finish off this teaser before we bid you farewell. I know you two like to get back to your dinner on a Monday night, so let's see what we've got here on the teaser. Thanks to the Crazy Pony for sending it in. If you want to send your question in and hear it used on the show, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. Can you name the top 8 Champions League appearance makers who've played in Scotland? You've got Ronald and Frank de Boer, Virgil van Dijk and Andy Robertson. You've got Roy Keane, which means 3 to get.
Reno Gattuso.
He is second on 79 Champions League appearances. He'll have won it as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, won it for Milan against Juventus.
Old Trafford.
Giovanni Van Bronckhorst.
No, actually, quite surprised now that you say it. I forgot about
him. Is that a manager that's going to have a Champions League appearance tomorrow? Mikel Arteta.
No, I was worried who you were on about there. I was thinking no.
Sergio Parini.
No. Oh, I'm worried for you here. 2 former Celtic players.
I'm out.
One was one of those kind of marquee signings.
Freddie Ljungberg.
Oh yeah, of course.
And the other one, I don't know why people always forget about this guy. Is it because he didn't spend long at Celtic? It must be, because he appears on lots of these types of lists.
No.
Brendan Rodgers' first spell, right at the start.
Colo Touré.
Oh, well done. Yeah. Okay, thank you, Andy Halliday. Well done on the weekend. What a weekend this man's had. Thank you, Roger Hanna, who was, I don't know, fine at what he did over the weekend, I guess. 01419511025. Get it in the phone for tomorrow, and we will be joined here 6 o'clock to look back on whatever's happening tomorrow, whatever's going on, whatever's happening, developing throughout the week. We'll do it Tuesday. More tickets for the Glasgow International Comedy Festival as well. We will see you then.